Do you want to be highly blessed in the new year? To me, asking a group of Christians that question almost seems just superfluous. Of course you do. I think that's why you have a relationship with God, because you want to be blessed and you understand that you need His blessings. And you understand that you want to be a better person. I'm sure that everyone here, as a child of God, wants to do everything he or she can to make the year 2010 a better year than the year 2009. We want to be better all the time. Do you think being a wiser person would help? If I was wiser in this coming year than I was in this past year, will that contribute anything to helping me being highly blessed? I believe so, especially if we're talking about the wisdom of God. And when we look at the scriptures, there's just certain people who stand out because of their wisdom, such as Solomon, who wrote the passage that Caleb read. What if we had the wisdom of Solomon? Would that do anything for us? After God had approached Solomon and asked him what he wanted, just a wide open question, wide open request, what do you want? And Solomon said that he wanted discernment. He wanted the ability to judge God's people. In other words, he wanted wisdom. God gave it to him. And then 1 Kings chapter 3 shows an amazing demonstration of his wisdom. There were two harlots who were living together. They had baby boys 3 days apart. One woman during the night rolled over onto her baby and killed him. Accidentally, of course. Seeing what she had done during the night, she switched babies with the other woman. This other woman, when she woke up in the morning and went to nurse her child, realized this was not her son. So they brought the case before Solomon, because these two women were arguing about this matter and it couldn't be solved. So the woman, who ended up being the true mother, she began and just said, you know, here's what happened. Then the other woman argued back, no, that's my son. First one said, no, it's my son. Back and forth, my son, my son, my son. And so Solomon kind of repeated back to them. You know, one of you says, this is my son, and the other one says, this is my son. Bring me a sword. If you had been in Solomon's royal court, what would you be thinking about a request like that? A sword? What does he want a sword for? Well, you do it because he's the king. So they brought him a sword and he said, divide this baby boy and give half to one woman and half to the other. The woman who had rolled over on her son and killed him, she said, that's fine. He'll be neither mine nor yours. But the true mother said, having compassion upon her son, to let him live. Don't kill him. Let her have him. See, she would much rather let another woman have her son than for her son to be cut in half. When Solomon heard that, he knew who the true mother was. And then the Bible says that everyone who heard about that feared Solomon. They could see that God's wisdom was in him. Whenever I read that in 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28, I am always just struck with, I don't know how else to say it other than to say that Solomon had guts. He really did. It's not so much that he committed himself, but he was willing just to commit a baby to this. And yet he knew deep down inside that the baby would not be cut in half. He knew that the true mother would stop it and that she would do exactly what she did. Man, I wish I had that kind of wisdom. God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, give us all that kind of wisdom. That we would be willing to disassociate ourselves from a situation, look at it objectively, give a bold solution, and then, as many people used to say, let the chips fall where they may. And true success would come. And you know, as a result of this, Solomon was highly blessed. So I think to myself, wow, if I could have that kind of wisdom, would I not be highly blessed? So let's listen to the man, Solomon, who displayed that wisdom, and listen to what he said about how I can be highly blessed, and see what he says about this utterly fantastic tool, excuse me, that we call wisdom. In Proverbs 3, 13 through 15, he said this, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." Now, when you think to yourself, well, how can I be highly blessed in the coming year? Well, having more money would sure be a nice thing. More things. But listen to what Solomon just said. He said that wisdom, or another way of stating wisdom, is understanding. The ability to understand things. That has proceeds that are better than the proceeds of silver. You can gain more from understanding than you can from fine gold. If you possess wisdom, you possess something that is more precious than even rubies. If you have the ability to understand people and situations, then you have something that is so grand that nothing that you can desire will compare with that. Wow. That really puts wisdom pretty high, does it not? After all, here is an entire book in the Bible that is devoted to the subject of wisdom and understanding. That is the book of Proverbs. There's wisdom and understanding revealed in other places of Scripture. But here is a whole book, 31 chapters as we've divided it, devoted to giving us a precious, precious gift. Look at the hands of wisdom. Verse 16. "Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor." Well, I'd like to live. I want to live as long as possible. Riches and honor. Who doesn't want those things? But here the Bible tells us that comes from wisdom. Wisdom is the thing to search after. Wisdom is the thing to get a hold of, and then these other things proceed from that. It's as though they're byproducts from that. So we don't necessarily strive for long life or strive for riches and honor. You strive for the wisdom. You strive to be an understanding man or woman of God. Then these other things will proceed from that. And Solomon knew what he was talking about because God had told him in 1 Kings 3, before that incident that we read about earlier, that because Solomon had asked for wisdom rather than for riches and honor, and rather than for the life of his enemies, God granted him riches and honor along with the wisdom. But it's because he knew the priority of things. So it's as though wisdom in the book of Proverbs is personified as a woman. She has in her hands just life just flowing out and riches and honor, and she just wants to give it to us. But we have to go to her first, not necessarily to what's in her hand. Next, Solomon in verse 17 spoke about the ways of wisdom. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Do you wish that you were a more pleasant person? Do you wish that you were a man or woman of peace? I've met people that I would say, you know something? She's just a pleasant person. He is just a man of peace. I want to be like that. I'm attracted to someone who is just pleasant and peaceful. Are you not? Why can't I be that way? I can. According to Solomon, it comes from this great tool by which we can be highly blessed. Next in verse 18 is the tree of wisdom. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Taking hold of the tree of life. Now that's true tree hugging. You want to be a tree hugger? This is the tree to hug. The tree of life. Or really what he's talking about here is wisdom. Wisdom is like a tree of life. Adam and Eve lived in that garden where they saw with their own eyes and could have touched with their own hands and could have tasted with their own mouths, with their own tongues, of the tree of life. What a fabulous experience that would have been. Too bad that we couldn't have been there, right? And yet Solomon says, in a certain sense, we can. There is a sense in which now I know later, that when we get to heaven, according to Revelation 22, we shall see the true tree of life, not just the copy that was on earth, but the true one in heaven, and that there's more than one. There's just tons of it up there. But even now, I can have the experience of tasting of the tree of life by tasting of wisdom. And it'll be life to me. This is the second time that Solomon said, wisdom is life-giving. It enriches our lives. And it's not just that you're existing, but like Jesus said, you know, He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. That's what wisdom does for us. It gives us life and it gives it to us more abundantly. Don't look at that necessarily in a qualitative sense, but in a quantitative sense. Or I had that mixed up. Not necessarily in a quantitative, but in a qualitative sense. Yes, it might make it long, but it just makes whatever life we have a better life. Hug the tree of wisdom, and thereby hug the tree of life. Then Solomon said this in verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Brother Nathan and I get together in my office and we sit down and read the book of Proverbs. And we've come across Proverbs chapter 3 several times. And as we've read through it, we're reading, okay, Solomon here is talking about, starting in verse 13, about wisdom. And you've just seen what he has talked about. Then he says what he said there in verses 19. And then in verse 21, he goes back to talking about wisdom. Why all of a sudden, Nathan and I asked, did he insert this thing about the Lord by wisdom founding the earth? What did he say that for? What's the connection? And we talked about it, and we talked, and we talked. And finally we realized what was going on. Solomon is telling us here that we can dip into the same well. Now get this. We can dip into the same well of wisdom that God dipped into to create the heavens and the earth? Did it take wisdom to make the heavens and the earth? Oh, amen. It doesn't even say it all, does it? I know it takes more, it takes His miraculous power and so on, but it certainly took wisdom. Well, one of the things that God used in creating things, He, by the Holy Spirit through Solomon, said, you can have some of that. Wow! Do you understand what Solomon is doing here? Do you understand what he is telling us? Okay, look at, you know, we just looked at verses 13 through 15. Here's why you're happy if you have wisdom. Here's what's in the hands of wisdom, verse 16. Here are the ways of wisdom, verse 17. Here is the tree of wisdom, verse 18. And by the way, God used this very thing that we're talking about here. Now granted, we don't have it in the abundance that He has it. But even if I get just one drop of His wisdom, what shall that do for me? And then what shall it do for others with whom I come in contact? Would you think about that for the rest of this week? Would you think about what Solomon by the Holy Spirit told us here? This is fascinating. And it makes me want to pray, dear God, give me that wisdom. I don't know how much I can handle, you know. But whatever you think I can handle, whatever you want me to have, baptize me with it. Immerse me in your wisdom, in the very quality that you use to create all things. And the reason I had Caleb read chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, is because Solomon did the same thing in chapter 8. In verses 1 through 21, again, he takes wisdom and personifies her as a woman. And he just glorifies wisdom, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's wisdom speaking to us in that case, and then wisdom lets us know, starting in verse 22, hey, the Lord used me when He made all things. So twice the Bible says that we can possess what God possessed when He created all things in the very beginning. That's fabulous. We move on. Verse 21. Here wisdom commands us. My son, let them not, wisdom and understanding, depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Listen, this is not simply good advice, although it is good advice, but it's a whole lot more than that. If you want maximum life, if you want superior blessings, then you better listen to it and give your all to acquire it. It's just that simple. Get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4:7. Give everything you've got. Cry out to God, chapter 2 of Proverbs says. Cry out to Him for discerning. Interestingly, now for a third time in verse 22, he speaks about life in its association with wisdom again. So they, wisdom and discretion, will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. And that's where life starts. Life starts in the soul, and then it affects my body. So I need to implant this wisdom and discretion into my soul, and then it'll give life to the real me. And then the tent that I live in, this body, it'll give it life. And again, take me to levels of beauty that I maybe never comprehended, so that it will be a grace on my neck. In other words, it'll be like a beautiful necklace. Grace around your neck. Now look at verses 23 and 24. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Doesn't it feel good just to go to bed at night, to lay down, and be satisfied with how you lived that day? You can sleep securely. And that's what wisdom does for us. Now, what I think is interesting about this text is that here, Solomon did not tell us how to get wisdom. He just told us its value. He just told us you need to get it. But he didn't say how to get it, although he does in other places. But I would like to recommend some things. You've heard me say this before, and I want to say it again. I strongly recommend that you read one chapter in Proverbs every day. Read the chapter that corresponds to the day of the month. That's the easiest way to do it. Today's the 27th. Read Proverbs 27. Tomorrow, Proverbs 28. You get the idea. Then, especially when you get to chapter 10, because generally speaking from chapter 10, every verse is a different proverb. You can't remember everything that he says, at least I can't. So I would encourage you to focus on one verse for that day. Now in chapters 1 through 9, it's really most of it's just like what we read tonight in chapter 3. He's just telling you about the value of wisdom, and he does tell you some other things along the way, but he's primarily talking about the value of wisdom. But then when you get to chapter 10, how are you going to remember all that you read in one day? Well, pick a verse. One that just happens to hit you that day. And focus on that verse for the rest of the day and then pray about it. Pray to God about that particular trait. For example, let's go to chapter 27. And if we were reading this chapter today, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Okay, verse 2, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." And you know, you keep on reading, but for some reason, verse 2 jumped out at you. And you thought to yourself, you know something? I often praise myself. And the Bible says here that I should let someone else do that. So that's the verse I'm going to concentrate on today, and I'm going to pray to God about it. And one way that I would encourage you to do that, to ensure that you do focus on that verse and that you do pray about it, is that you write it down and review it during the day. Maybe just write it down on a piece of paper, type it out, or whatever you do. You know, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on the kitchen table or something, put it in your pocket. And if you have a few seconds, just pull it out and read it. And it doesn't take long. You can put it away again and continue to remember it throughout the day. Another passage which is highly effective is James chapter 1. Let's go to that chapter. And there's two things that I want us to note from that chapter. Verses 2 through 4. Notice this. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Okay, I have trials in life, I have struggles, I have things that challenge me. Okay, so count it all joy when that comes, because those things will help make you a patient person. And the reason patience is so beneficial is because of what he says in the next verse, in verse 4, that patience, when it works, it makes a perfect work in you. It makes you perfect and complete so that you lack nothing. So in other words, let the experiences of life teach you wisdom. Life has so much to teach. And if we are, life has so much to teach us, and if we go through those experiences and listen to them, we will not lack anything. Often I will see someone who's been living quite a while and yet they still do some of the same things that hurt other people or hurt themselves. I think, haven't you learned? Do I learn from all my experiences? Those experiences of life are there to teach us something. But even as I go through those things, I may still lack something. So now, in verses 5 through 8, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, okay, so you've gone through these trials, and they're forming you into a certain kind of a person. So, you're getting to that point, but you still lack something, that's wisdom. He says, pray to God about it. Ask of God. He'll give it to you liberally. He will not reproach you for asking, but you've got to ask in faith. If you doubt, he says, you're a double-minded person, and you should not think that you'll receive anything from the Lord. He's not going to give you wisdom if you're really not sure that he'll give it to you. So let life teach you, and then pray about it. And finally, the last thing I want to mention is that when you do those things, when you ask God and you pray to him, and he gives you wisdom, thank him for it. That's what Daniel did. How many times of our lives are, God, do this for me and do this. God, please help this person, help this person. Request, 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 request. Give, 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 give. And then he gives. Do we then do what Daniel did in Daniel 2:20-23? See, you may remember from Daniel chapter 2 that what had happened was that for various reasons, Nebuchadnezzar had sent out a decree that all the wise men of Babylon were to be killed, and that would include Daniel and his friends. When they heard that, of course, they were troubled, and they prayed to God about it. And God revealed the solution to the problem that was going on then. And when Daniel received the solution for the problem, the Bible says he thanked and praised God for giving him the wisdom. God is far more apt to give to us after he has given to us, and then we have prayed to him, given him back thanks. He gives to us, we give to him. And then he gives back, and we give right back. It just goes back and forth. He doesn't want it to be just a one-way street. He wants it to go from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven, and for it never to cease. However, in order for those things to happen, in order for prayer to be effective, we have to have a relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. It devastates our relationship with him. It drives a wedge between the two of us. And so that's why as Christians we need to pray to God, confessing our sins, and he'll forgive us our sins. And then we can continue to pray for wisdom and the other things that we need. Brother or sister, do you need us to pray for you tonight? Hey, do you have sin that's just weighing heavy upon you and is cutting you off from God? Why not do something about it tonight? If we can be of assistance to you, please come forward now as we stand and sing.